You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy weekend, everybody. Thanks for stopping by and spending a little bit of your time here at Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast analysis of all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. As we chat this Friday afternoon, yes, the Rockets are playing in a Summer League game as I record this, but before we get to any Summer League analysis that will have to come on another show this weekend, let's get to the subject of the day, which is something that we have suspected, but now finally have concrete evidence of: the Oklahoma City Thunder's plans, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, to release disgruntled forward Carmelo Anthony, and according to Mark Stein of the New York Times, the Rockets' interest in picking him up as soon as he gets to his free agency. Now, it doesn't take a genius to put together why the Thunder would be looking to move on from Melo. The fit was that great this past season, and then after re-signing Paul George, the luxury tax impact for Carmelo after opting in to the final year of his existing contract at nearly $28 million to keep him on the roster between the luxury taxes and his original contract would cost them over $100 million. So there's a big incentive for the Thunder to move on from Melo, especially after the discontent that was shared after the season. And should he be released, that seems inevitable. It's just a matter of timing. The Thunder could buy him out. They could waive and stretch him. It could be a combination of a buyout and stretch. Or there could be an option, as Woj reported, the Thunder could trade him to a team who would then release him. Essentially a bad team, think Chicago, Atlanta, someone like that with cap room, would essentially, it sounds like, give a minor asset to Oklahoma City and then acquire Carmelo with the intent of directly waiving him themselves immediately after the deal. As far as the Rockets being interested, it's made sense to me for a long time. First, we know the Rockets were extremely interested this time a year ago. I know it was an underwhelming season for Carmelo with the Thunder, but this thing was so far down the tracks last summer between Carmelo and the Rockets, of course, wanting to be traded here from New York, that he had actually, according to a report that I shared last summer on this show, picked out a condo in Houston that was going to be his place to live. It was a done deal, as reported by many folks, including Jesus Rodriguez on the New York side of things. The Knicks told Carmelo that he was going to be traded to Houston. The terms just had not been finalized, and then when the Knicks had their front office change from Phil Jackson to the Perry era, then ultimately that's what derailed the deal, to where eventually the Knicks called his bluff about not expanding his no-trade list, and before training camp opens, rather than Carmelo going into an awkward situation on media day in New York, he expanded his list to include the Thunder, and the Knicks did that deal instead, getting Enes Kanter, because Kanter had one less year on his contract than Ryan Anderson, who of course was the primary piece offered from Houston. The connections between the Rockets and Carmelo are obvious, most notably they're Chris Paul. Chris Paul, very close friend to Carmelo's, tried to acquire him for years when Chris was with the Clippers trying to get Carmelo to New York. Allegedly, that had something to do with Chris leaving the Clippers for the Rockets, the fact that their supposed deal for Carmelo ended up disintegrating at the last moment, so it's not a shock to see Chris wanting to go down that road again. And there's a case you can make that a lot of Carmelo's flaws could be mitigated with a more structured system led by two elite point guards in Chris Paul and James Harden. There's a lot more spacing in Houston. There's a lot more flow to the offense than what happens with Russell Westbrook and Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City. I think it's also noteworthy that Mike D'Antoni has coached Carmelo before in New York, so he has a better knowledge of how to use Carmelo, what his strengths and weaknesses are, how to relate to them. In general, I just have a lot more trust that Mike D'Antoni, Chris Paul, and James Harden, especially given the personal friendship between Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony, would know how to use him better than Billy Donovan and Russell Westbrook. And as far as Houston's interest, Mark Stein reporting it, but it doesn't take a genius, as I've said for a few days now, to realize that the Rockets are probably holding their MLE for something. It's not just the Rockets have not used their MLE after losing Trevor Ariza. It's that we haven't even heard them having meetings with guys who would theoretically be available for that range. Not just a matter of them not getting them. They haven't even been active on the market, which to me indicates that they're saving it for someone who probably isn't on the market yet. And Carmelo Anthony, for a lot of reasons, made the most sense, especially considering the Rockets' interest in him this time a year ago. Now, the upside, even at 34 years old, Carmelo is a guy who can put the ball in the basket, and there is value in that, as we saw in Game 6 and Game 7 against the Golden State Warriors. There's value in a guy in an isolation situation in the half court who can go out and put the ball in the basket, especially, in my opinion, it gives you a little bit more of a hedge on injuries, because as we saw, when you didn't have Chris Paul and everything became so dependent on the three-point shot, there was not a lot else that the Rockets could turn to in half-court sets. Carmelo, even at age 34, the mid-range game, high post, he can still do a lot of things in terms of creating his own offense. And for all the analytics these days, I'm a big believer in them, but at the same time, sometimes you do just need a guy who can go out there and create his own offense. That's something that Carmelo Anthony can do. And I think with Chris Paul and Mike D'Antoni, you can put him in a better position to regularly do that than what Billy Donovan did in Oklahoma City. Also, he's actually been a very good catch-and-shoot three-point player over the years. I believe upper 30s, close to 40%. As we noted last summer, there really wasn't that big of a drop-off from Ryan Anderson to Carmelo Anthony when you look at catch-and-shoot scenarios spacing the floor. So he's a 3/4 that can shoot, that can space the floor for Chris Paul and James Harden. You can absolutely work with that in Houston. Now, the downside to Carmelo is obvious. He's just not a good defensive player. And whereas last summer we talked about him essentially being a small ball four replacing Ryan Anderson, that's why I threw out the Ryan Anderson comparison for the comp and shoots, this summer it would be a little bit more of a hybrid because the Rockets are also looking to replace Trevor Ariza at the small forward spot. That's where it gets a little bit murky because you're going with from a plus defender in Ariza to definitely a negative defender in Carmelo Anthony. That said, Houston, you could make an argument that this is a place that could deal with Carmelo at the three better than most other teams around the NBA, and that's because the starting four is PJ Tucker, who has a ton more flexibility, a ton more versatility in terms of being able to pick up guys on the perimeter than most power forwards around the NBA have. So while it still doesn't make it an easy fit, I think if you start Carmelo Anthony and James Harden, two guys who are both liabilities on the perimeter, it could get hairy. I would expect there to be some drop-off relative to the Rockets' defense a year ago when Ariza was in that starting lineup. At the same time, it's not as bad as it would be if you were mandating that both be on the perimeter at all times. Between PJ Tucker and Clint Capela being much more able to switch on the perimeter players than most fours and fives, I think that could go a long way towards mitigating some of the deficiencies. Not all of them, because you would still have both Carmelo and Harden, but it would make it an easier fit in Houston. That's essentially all you're looking for, which is, it's not that you're going to make him a good defensive player. You're trying to hide the deficiencies enough to where what he gives you offensively, his ability to score, his playmaking, his shot creation, can outweigh whatever the downside is on the defensive end. I think another big part of the puzzle would be if the Rockets can re-sign Luke Bamute. We heard from Luke yesterday at his event in Houston. He's got a number of charity events this week, including the soccer game I mentioned to y'all on yesterday's show going on Saturday morning. Would love to see some of y'all there. But if the Rockets can bring him back, then I think it's much easier to get on board with the Carmelo move, because if you're in a matchup where the defense between Carmelo and Harden just is not working with two guys who are liabilities on the perimeter, then you can mix and match in terms of Carmelo versus Luke, depending what you need on a given night. Whereas if it's just Carmelo, and we'll see, because the reality is that the mid-level exception can only go to one of those guys. The other would need to take either the minimum or, in Luke's case, the non-bird tender, which is a little bit above the minimum. So some of it comes down contractually to what's available for each player. Can you make it work? But in my opinion, if you essentially swap out Ariza for Carmelo, that makes it all the more important to retain Luke Bamute so that you have at least some semblance of the defensive identity you had in the playoffs this past year. Not that Luke is going to be every bit as valuable as Ariza, but he can bring you some of the same dynamics and allow you to mix and match. And if you need a more defensive lineup against a certain team, then you could go down that path. And finally, the last reason that I'm on board with the Carmelo move, should the Rockets be able to pull this off, I mentioned giving the benefit of the doubt because of Chris Paul, Mike D'Antoni, James Harden. The other thing is, we are in an NBA where if you can make a move to increase your variance, that's probably what you need to do, because the Warriors aren't going anywhere, and by acquiring Boogie Cousins, the Warriors' upside is even greater than it was a year ago. So you're talking about adding another all-star to a team that already had four and was probably the most talented roster in the history of the game. Could adding Carmelo to Houston backfire? Sure, absolutely. I see what the deficiencies are. He's not getting any younger. His offense has gotten less efficient. His defense is only getting worse as his foot speed slows a little bit. I understand what the liabilities are, and I know what some of the advanced metrics show. I'm not oblivious to that. That said, the upside of a guy who is still a consistent scorer, a shot creator, there are upside scenarios where it could work. And ultimately, when you're in a league with Golden State, who just acquired Boogie Cousins, you have to gamble on the upside scenarios. So that's why, to me, even though there are downsides, it's a risk you need to take if you want to compete at the highest level with teams like the loaded Warriors. The other reason, I actually think the downside scenarios are a little bit overstated. If things aren't working out, be it for the minimum, the taxpayer, MLE, whatever financial resources the Rockets use to get Carmelo, if it's not working out, they can move on at midseason. As we discussed in yesterday's show, it should be a loaded buyout market in terms of players, a lot at the wing position. You're seeing so many one-year deals handed out this offseason, and for teams that aren't able to compete, which it's so tough this year because of the presence of teams like the Warriors, you are going to have a lot of players hit the market in February, including potentially Trevor Ariza, who signed that one-year $15 million deal with the Suns. So if Carmelo isn't working out, it's not like you're giving him a ton of money. You're just going to be giving him the taxpayer MLE at most, possibly less than that. And if it's not working out, okay, you can let him go midseason, and then you can pursue one of those other wings who maybe have a little bit more balance to their game, more defense. It's not that I'm oblivious to the concerns. I see what the naysayers see. I'm aware of your arguments. They're not without merit. It's just, to me, you have to think about the upside scenarios. They do exist. And if it doesn't work out, there are some exit strategies. It's not like you do this deal and then you are locked into Carmelo Anthony for better or for worse. If it's not working, you can move on and look at the buyout market, which should have a lot of capable, even 3-and-D caliber wings with which you could theoretically replace Melo with in the midpoint in the season if the mix isn't where you want it. So that's why, in closing out the first segment, I'm not exceptionally high on the move. I certainly do not look at Carmelo Anthony the same way I did even 2 or 3 years ago in terms of potentially star-level upside. At 34 years old, his deficiencies are real, and in terms of his movement, his defensive skills, they're not getting any better. I get all of that. That said, could the Rockets have used him in Game 6 or Game 7 against the Warriors? Yes, I absolutely believe they could have. Could they use someone to eat minutes after losing Trevor Ariza? Yes, they could. And is there a scenario where it could work out to where Chris Paul, James Harden, and Mike D'Antoni could get more out of him than what Russell Westbrook and Billy Donovan did a year ago? Yep, I think that's a fair expectation as well. So based on those factors, I'm willing to take the gamble, and if it doesn't work out, I really don't think the downside is all that extreme anyway. Now, segment one was mostly my thoughts on why it makes sense for the Rockets to go after Carmelo Anthony, assuming the bargain basement price of either the taxpayer MLE or lower is the cost of doing business. But here at Locked In Rockets, we try to make it not just about me. We try and get inside insight from elsewhere around the league as well. Some of you may remember this, but a couple of months ago, I did a show with Brian Geltzeiler, NBA insider for SiriusXM's NBA channel and NBA TV on television, and we did this during the playoffs. It was mostly about the Rockets versus Jazz series and the inevitable Rockets versus Warriors, but we did talk a little bit about Carmelo in the middle of it, because I did talk with Brian about Carmelo last summer, and my question to Brian was whether the Rockets dodged a bullet in not getting Carmelo, given how poorly things ended up in Oklahoma City, or if a lot of the struggles had to do with the usage, most notably the Russell Westbrook and Billy Donovan factors that I just got through describing in the first segment. And in hindsight, Brian's answer was pretty interesting, and to me, it gives me a lot of optimism on why you should believe that the fit might be better for Carmelo in Houston than it was in Oklahoma City. I'm going to play that back right now. Here's Brian Geltzeiler, again, SiriusXM NBA channel and NBA TV, on his thoughts on what went wrong for Carmelo in Oklahoma City and why it might not necessarily go wrong somewhere else. We spoke a lot last summer about the Rockets' potential pursuit of Carmelo Anthony, ultimately didn't work out, in part because of the struggles for finding a home for Ryan Anderson. Now, knowing what we know, how poorly things went for Carmelo in Oklahoma City, I'm just curious your thoughts. Would it have been different for Carmelo if he was around Chris Paul and James Harden and the culture in Houston? Or did the Rockets dodge a bullet by that not happening?
A little bit of both. You know, I think that they definitely did dodge a bullet because obviously Carmelo's skills are in decline. I don't know if necessarily we're going to blame all this on Westbrook and Paul George not being the ideal teammates. I think he probably would have been better off with Paul and Harden. And listen, I think he would have been better off with a head coach that understood him more, Mike D'Antoni, in spite of the difficulties they have when the two of them were in New York. D'Antoni gets who Carmelo is. Billy Donovan, I just hated the way he used Anthony. And I thought Carmelo Anthony, in his exit interview, made a fantastic point, which is the fact that trade happened sometime middle of training camp, and they systemically did not integrate Carmelo Anthony. They threw him together and tried to work it on the fly. And pretty much what Billy Donovan did and the way he used Anthony is he reduced Anthony to only being as good as what his three-point percentage was. And the thing about Carmelo, I know they had moments with Carmelo where they tried to run some offense through him and it didn't work great, but it was almost like too little too late. Like, if you want to get something out of Carmelo, you're going to have times that you just run your offense through him on the elbow because that's what he does best. And I think at times they could have used him in that spot with reserve units and run things through them a lot, but it was all behind the three-point line. It was all catch and shoot Melo. And the thing about Melo that you forget is he's a pretty good rebounder and he's a pretty good offensive rebounder. And you get him closer to the basket. It was always like that in New York. He could do a lot more for you. Listen, in recent years, we saw his free throw rate definitely gradually come down. It fell off a cliff this year. He had so few free throw attempts this year. It was crazy. And that is also part of pulling him away from the basket. If you're going to have him on your team, you have to take the time to use him properly. And I don't necessarily mean give him the usage that he had in Denver and New York. You're not going to do that on this team. But you do have to have times where he is your primary guy for short periods of time and allow him to get himself going so he's a threat late in games to use. They totally went away from that. And so much of this, I think, was Billy Donovan coaching scared. You know, when you coach a team scared and you're coaching because you're worried about your job, and Billy Donovan shouldn't have been worried about his job because he's got an ownership group there that is not eating $12 million over 2 years in him. It's not going to happen. So he really did not have to worry about his job this year, but he coached like he was afraid of Russell Westbrook. He really did. Westbrook, you know, does exactly what he wants there, and the whole system is built around Westbrook, and Westbrook involves other people when it's convenient for him. And Billy Donovan, you know, at times the pulling of Melo in certain spots, which I can't totally disagree with at those times, because if you're going to use him that way, you might as well not use him. Mm-hmm. You know, and Jeremy Grant certainly fit that role better at certain points in time. But I do think Billy Donovan butchered this Melo situation, and he really did. And I understand Carmelo Anthony for feeling pretty sore. Listen, OKC was not a place he really wanted to go. He went there for all the right reasons, all the basketball reasons, and really wasn't kind of granted the opportunity to be a guy that this team needed him to be over the course of this season. And yes, some of it is on him, and some of it certainly is a decline in athleticism and a decline in skill. A whole lot of this is on the fact that they chose to make him something that he absolutely wasn't, and he miserably failed in that role.
Again, that's Brian Geltzeiler of NBA TV and Sirius XM NBA Radio. I didn't think too much of it at the time because all of our focus in early May was on the second round series with the Jazz and the inevitable showdown in the Western Conference Finals with the Warriors, which the Rockets went on to lose in seven games. But in hindsight, he makes some pretty encouraging points. And also Brian on Twitter at Hoops Critic has been pretty optimistic for a contender such as the Rockets or the Lakers. We'll talk more about the decision between those teams in the third segment in just a few moments, being able to get more out of Melo than what Billy Donovan did in Oklahoma City. It's not that it's a perfect fit. Certainly we know the Rockets, with their threes and layups philosophy, it's not an ideal marriage with what Geltz described as essentially running offense through Melo at the elbow. But we have seen a willingness by the Rockets to change their system as necessary. Look how valuable the mid-range shots from Chris Paul were at various points in the playoffs. Elite defenses like the Jazz, like the Warriors, you can't be as simplistic as the threes and layups to beat them. In some ways, we saw that scenario go wrong in Game 7 when the threes went wrong, the 0 for 27 stretch, and the Rockets didn't really have a counter with Chris Paul out due to the awful hamstring injury at the worst time. Carmelo Anthony gives you more of a hedge. He gives you another option you can go to, and it may even mitigate some of the impact or importance of Chris Paul in terms of maybe letting him take a few more possessions off as well from time to time throughout the year and not having to run the offense exclusively through Chris when James isn't in the game. That's not to say that everything is rosy. The liabilities that Brian went through, I share in his assessment. Melo's skills have eroded. Defensively, he was never good, and he's probably worse than ever now at age 34. And it's not that he's blameless for what went on in Oklahoma City. It's just that if you go in with a plan, knowing for months how you need to integrate him in training camp into your offense, and the players want to make it work, you have buy-in, which clearly there would be from Chris Paul and James Harden. By the way, we did see Carmelo hanging out a lot in June with James Harden and PJ Tucker over in Europe at one of their fashion events. Keep that in mind for those wanting to know what the fit would be like beyond the obvious friendship of Carmelo and Chris Paul. But it's not that it's going to be a game changer for the Rockets. It's not that you're getting star Carmelo Anthony from even 2-3 years ago. But that's not how you need to look at it. What you need to look at it is, be it for the minimum or the taxpayer MLE, can this guy come in and be an asset? Can he eat some of those minutes that, especially after the loss of Trevor Ariza, are now open? It's not that he's the best option in the world, but he's a solid one who, in my opinion, can make your basketball team better, and he can give you a little bit more upside when it comes to matching up with the Warriors. It raises your ceiling a little bit, even if it lowers your floor. It raises your ceiling, and when you're competing with the Golden State Warriors, it's your ceiling rather than your floor that should be your emphasis. Again, not saying I'm completely sold. I get the concerns, but on my own instinct, and then after hearing the X's and O's take from Brian, the more I think about it, the more on board I am with the trial run, especially if it's at the bargain basement prices that have been reported to this point, and really all the Rockets can offer between the taxpayer MLE and the league minimum. Now, we spent the first 20 minutes or so of the show going through the possibilities of what Houston would look like with Carmelo Anthony. Last segment, let's discuss what probably needs to be the first domino to fall. Would Carmelo Anthony choose Houston? There's a lot of reasons to think the Rockets are interested, and so would Carmelo. They were nearly a match last summer, but I'm not oblivious to what's changed since then. LeBron James, also a close friend to Carmelo's, is now in Los Angeles. A year ago, Carmelo was more interested in the Rockets with Chris than the Cavs with LeBron, but there was some obvious uncertainty with LeBron's future in Cleveland. Now, with LeBron in LA for 4 years, signing a multi-year contract, there's a lot more stability to LeBron's situation. He's also in a much more desirable city in Los Angeles as opposed to Cleveland. I'm sure Melo's wife has some ties to LA and would enjoy that. So I don't think that it's a slam dunk that Carmelo would pick the Rockets. You could see him going to LA, but ultimately my guess is that Houston is a slight favorite. For starters, in terms of the Melo family factor, he moved to Oklahoma City by himself last year. He has shown a willingness to be somewhat apart in terms of the basketball portion of his life and essentially pick up his full-time family role in the offseason. With LeBron, that was a question. Secondly, with LeBron, a guy who has already won 3 titles and a guy who now runs his own entertainment company, there's a lot more off-court interest that were pulling him to L.A. I'm sure he'd like to win more titles, but it's not as essential. And between his media/entertainment, whatever you want to call it, operation that he's got there, between all the off-court opportunities, there's a big pull to LA. And he's the type of star who, just his sheer presence, he knows he can get more pieces down the road. Another thing about LeBron, his body is such that even if he's giving up on contention this year, and it seems pretty clear the Lakers, at least as currently constructed, are not at the Warriors or Rockets level, LeBron can probably last into his late 30s the way Carmelo Anthony and probably Chris Paul cannot. So I think LeBron can be a little bit more patient. With Carmelo, there's more in common with Chris Paul than there is with LeBron. And I think first it starts with the body type, because we've already mentioned the slippage we've seen, certainly on defense, but some offensively as well. I don't know that Carmelo's window as forget an elite player, even a starting level player in the NBA will be as open nearly as LeBron's is. And from the standpoint of winning, Houston gives you a better shot than Los Angeles. It really is that simple. It's just a matter of what your priorities are. For Chris Paul, it was about the basketball. That's why he picked the Rockets last summer. That's why he picked them this summer again. For LeBron, it was clearly the off-court stuff, be it his entertainment ventures, the lifestyle, his family. It wasn't just who gives me the best shot on the basketball floor. And part of it, again, because of his body, he can be a little bit more patient and know that, hey, even if I can't win this year, then give it a couple of years, maybe even just 1 year, and they can put the right roster around me. I don't know that Carmelo Anthony has that luxury. So while I understand the pull of Los Angeles, I don't think it's irrelevant. My guess is that Carmelo Anthony has more in common with Chris Paul than he does with LeBron James. And in terms of the basketball fit, we know that Carmelo has gone over the Houston scenario tons of times. If there's one thing you should know in NBA free agency, it's that most of the big ticket moves, which Carmelo Anthony, he's still a big ticket guy. I don't know if his play on the court reflects it, but certainly his name, his stature in the NBA, and how he thinks about himself. He's clearly given a lot of thought to the Houston scenario, what the pieces would be. There was clearly a lot of back-channel communication last summer. With LA, there are a lot of unanswered questions. That's brand new. I think Houston has the advantage of familiarity. And beyond that, there are some young pieces. It's not just LeBron, who obviously was start at one of the power forward spots for the Lakers, but also Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, possibility of a trade for Kawhi Leonard. There are some younger guys with upside to where even if Carmelo Anthony is a better fit in LA than he is in Oklahoma City, it's not clear what his role would be. In Houston, there's not really that upside when you look at the forward spots. Now, there's a lot of quality players, certainly P.J. Tucker, if they're able to bring back Luke Bamute, which, as mentioned earlier, because of Carmelo's defensive deficiencies, I think is very important if you bring in Carmelo. But it's not like you just have the presence of either multiple young guys or another star, in the case of LeBron, that complicates the path to minutes. In Houston, it's a quality team, but it's an easier, consistent path to see Melo playing. There's also more veterans out there. I understand that the youth in LA was enough for LeBron, and maybe that's enough for Carmelo too. But again, I think LeBron's a bit of an exception to the rule based on his body type, based on his titles, based on his off-court empire. Carmelo is not to that level in terms of his off-court presence. He certainly doesn't have the same body type. He hasn't won any titles, so I think there's more in common between Carmelo and Chris than there is between Carmelo and LeBron. That's not a given, of course. I would not be floored if Carmelo chose the Lakers regardless of this. I understand that he and LeBron are very close, just like he's very close with Chris. And ultimately, any NBA player choosing to sign with the LeBron James-led Lakers would not be a shock. I would not bet the farm on Carmelo with the Rockets. It's just, if I had to choose, if both teams want him, I just think the fit is a little easier in Houston. He could even start if that's what he wants. And according to some of his comments, exiting Oklahoma City, that's still a big deal to him. There's an easier path to the starting lineup. There's less direct competition for minutes. And there's a fit that I just think, in general, he's more comfortable with from an X's and O's standpoint because he's looked at it and discussed it for quite a while. In L.A., there's a lot of newness to it. I think, you know, if LeBron makes the pitch, he would certainly listen to him. I just think the Lakers would be fighting an uphill battle. So while it's far from a done deal, my guess is that if the money is the same, if both the Rockets and Lakers are interested in offering comparable amounts of money, my bet would be on the Rockets winning out. Not a given, but that's just what my instinct is upon first hearing of his availability on the market and the Rockets' alleged interest in him, according to Mark Stein. Haven't seen a confirmed report that the Lakers are interested, but between the LeBron James factor and the fact that they're still trying to fill off that roster, I think that's probably inevitable that at least they're going to check in and test the waters. And then once Carmelo finally gets his release from Oklahoma City or wherever it is that they trade him to get that release slash buyout slash wave and stretch, however it comes about, then we'll find out between Chris and LeBron essentially who gets custody. That's how I'm jokingly referring to it on Twitter. A custody battle, the banana boat guys between Chris and LeBron for Carmelo. Who wins out? My early guess is on CP, but as always, stay tuned. For now, this will do it for our all Carmelo episode. For the rest of the weekend, unless we have some more concrete rumors, we'll turn it back into the more here and now, which is, of course, the action on the floor. Rockets beginning summer league play today against the Pacers and continuing it on Sunday against the Warriors. This will be our first looks at some of the rookies like DeAnthony Melton, guard out of USC, forwards Vince Edwards out of Purdue and Gary Clark out of Cincinnati, guards Rob Gray out of U of H and Trayvon Duval out of Duke, and then, of course, returning prospects such as Isaiah Hartenstein, Shinanu Anuaku, Joe Chi, all big men. Rockets, it's one of their deeper summer league rosters in a while, so looking forward to watching these games, and hopefully a couple of these guys can step up to where we feel good about them, maybe even being fringe rotation pieces, but worst case, you can see them as assets this summer based on their play. The same way, remember 10 years ago, that was when Dante Green had his big breakout in summer league play, and by the end of the month, he was the centerpiece in the Rockets deal with the Sacramento Kings for Ron Artest. Maybe in a perfect world, you get someone that breaks out like that, and you can even increase their market value this summer. Stay tuned. That's what summer league play is all about. But until those games are in the books and we have more to analyze, I will wrap it. As always, thanks to y'all, our loyal listeners, for tuning in. We have more content in the interim, including Summer League analysis. The best place to get it before our next episode is on Twitter. I am on there at Ben Dubose, simply my name. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, don't forget email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Facebook account at facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Website at lockedonrockets.com. Always you can access our content, ask me questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or you, the human being, don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Also, if you haven't subscribed to us already, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, wherever you listen to your podcast, there's a good chance that we're on there because the Locked On Podcast Network has great reach across the NBA, NFL, and even some MLB. So if you subscribe to us, you'll get alerts right when new episodes are out. So if there's breaking news, which this time of year, first week of free agency, that's happening a lot, then subscribing to us is the best way to get episodes in a timely fashion. And in addition to subscribing, if you'd be kind enough to leave us a 5-star review on your listening service of choice, please do, because those 5-star reviews are how we make the business model work. That's how we look attractive to potential advertisers and make everything work financially to keep this thing going as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. So for today, I will sign off. Hope everyone has a lovely weekend, and we'll be talking again very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.